The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thanks, Bob. Good morning, everyone. Do you remember a time when you were away from family? When you were separated by some time or space? Maybe it was when you first moved out of home, or maybe you've moved to another city for study or for work to live. And do you remember those emotions that you felt of when you were first separated? And then how those feelings changed or grew as that separation continued? When I was 17, I moved to Brisbane so I could attend university there. And it just wasn't too far from home, really. You could take a train to Ipswich and a bus from there to Toowoomba, and Mum or Dad would come in and pick me up and take me out to home. And so I could get home pretty regularly. But once I graduated, I then moved a bit further. In fact, I moved to the other side of the world. I moved to Germany, where I lived and studied for the next 2 years. And I'd spent all my savings to get there. So it wasn't a case of you could just hop on a plane and fly back, because I couldn't afford to do that. And so, apart from the occasional phone call, the only way that I really stayed in touch was by writing letters. And so I wrote a lot of them. Kylie and I used to write to each other every week for almost those 2 years. And at the moment, we're looking at another letter that Paul wrote to someone who was very special to him. Someone who was part of his family, his church family. And they're a long way apart, but he wanted to communicate his sense of love and his concern for them. And so these people were like family to Paul. 2 weeks ago, we looked at some of the language that Paul uses in this letter, and he talks about his brothers and sisters. He talks about being like a nursing mother who's providing care and nurture to these young Christians in the Lord at Thessalonica. He talked about being a father, someone who provided instruction and direction about how to live. And they're a long way apart. And so he writes to them now in the end of chapter 2, and he says, "But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you." Now, when we see the word orphan, we would typically think of a child who has been orphaned from their parents. But in Paul's time, the word orphan could also relate to the parents. The parents could be orphaned from their child. And so Paul's expressing here that I feel like an orphaned parent. I'm away from you. I care for you. I love you. And I feel as though we've been separated from each other. I want to get there to see you. I want to spend time with you. And in those days, there were three ways that people could stay in touch. The first way is you made the journey. You traveled. You went to visit them. The second way is if you couldn't go, you would send an envoy or an emissary, someone who went on your behalf, someone who went in your name to go and do what you would want to have done. Or the third way is that you wrote a letter and you communicated what you wanted through that letter. Well, since Paul couldn't get over to see the Thessalonians, he decided to send Timothy. And so we see from the start of chapter 3, he wrote this: "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in faith." So Paul sent Timothy. See, about a year earlier, Paul and Silas and Timothy had been to Thessalonica. That's where they'd planted this little church. And while they were there, it meant that Timothy had become familiar with the city. He got to know the people. They got to know him. So if Paul couldn't go, it made sense for him to send Timothy in his place. And he sent Timothy with two primary purposes. The first one we see in verse 5. "For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labours might have been in vain. Can you hear the emotion here in Paul's writings? When I could stand it no longer. This sense of being apart, this sense of being separated, and this growing sense of, I just want to see you. I can't stand it that we're apart. In other words, Paul is genuinely concerned for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Were they able to stay committed to Christ in the face of temptation and persecution? Well, Paul couldn't go, but he really wanted to know how they were, so he sent Timothy. And if they were still solid in their faith, then there was a major reason for Timothy going. We see this in verse 2. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. This is the reason Paul sent Timothy. Having found out that they're still standing firm in their faith, he sent him that he would strengthen and encourage them in their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, they were living in difficult circumstances. And as we'll look at in a moment, there were a whole lot of things that were coming against them. And it would have been easy for them to walk away from their faith in Christ. It would have been easy to go back into the outstretched arms of family and friends who are saying, I don't know what this Jesus thing is that you're all talking about. I don't know why you're interested in him. And so Timothy comes to encourage them in their faith, to strengthen them. And then Timothy, having heard how they are, then heads back to where Paul is to report back. And now we see Paul's relief because he's heard back from Timothy. And he writes from verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. So Timothy returns here, back to Paul. He's got good news. The Thessalonians remember Paul, and they've got good memories of him. That's a relief, isn't it? Sometimes people remember you, but not for good reasons. But here they remember him. They've got good reason to do so. They're keen to see him. That's good news too. They want him to come back and he wants to go and see them. And we see the relief again in Paul expressed in verse 8 when he says, for now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. We can really live. Our lives are so much better now because we're not worried. We know you're standing firm in the Lord. And so from this we gather that Timothy has been, he's found them strong in their faith and in their love. He's strengthened them, he's encouraged them, he's setting them up for a good future. Are you prepared to be a Timothy? In other words, are you prepared to be a Timothy for our church family where you go on behalf of the church to listen and to see if young Christians are doing okay in their faith? See, Timothy went to go and encourage these new Christians in their faith, to see how they are, and then to help them grow. And then having heard how they're going, he comes back to say, this is how they're going. This is where they're doing really well, and this is where they still need some help. And we have to ask ourselves, are we prepared to be Timothys? See, I see Timothys in this church every single week. I see it on a Monday morning when our care team meets together. And our care team sits around and goes, now, I wonder, we haven't seen so-and-so for a little while, or I've heard they're unwell. How can we care for them? Who needs some encouragement? And then they send Timothys out, who throughout the week are going to visit people, call people, catch up with people. And then they come back the next week and they go, oh, they're doing okay. oh, they still need some care, some support, some encouragement. See, I see Timothy's happening across the life of this church other days of the week when life groups are meeting. And when someone's not at life group, someone calls me and goes, hey, you doing okay? You weren't here this week. Are you well? Or that maybe they haven't been there for a while. Are things going all right for you? See, that's what it means to be a Timothy. That's what it means to care. Can I encourage you to be a Timothy? Can I encourage you to consider who there is in your family or in your church family that you haven't seen for a while? Maybe you're a bit concerned about them. Maybe you're worried about how they're going. Maybe you know someone who's living in difficult circumstances. Difficult family situation, difficult work situation. And what's it look like to be a Timothy and to take the time to catch up? To hear how they're going. If you're uncertain of how they're going in their faith, having a chat with them. And this is what Paul was wanting to do. Paul was wanting to go and do this, but he couldn't. So he sent a Timothy. So what's it look like for you that if you can't visit, is there some other way? Can you write a letter? Can you give them a call? Send them a text, message in some other way? Because you could imagine the Thessalonians would have really appreciated the fact that Paul was thinking of them enough that he sent Timothy to go and see how they are. Could you imagine the relief Paul felt when Timothy comes back and goes, hey, they're doing all right. The role of a Timothy is really, really important in the life of family, in the life of church family. Particularly when you know someone is going through struggles. And in this letter, Paul is addressing some really significant struggles. The first one is the one that Paul describes himself. When he says in chapter 2, verse 18, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. Now we've got no idea how Satan blocked their way. Scholars have got a whole lot of suggestions. Some suggest that there were death threats against him, because we know that when Paul went to some cities, he was flogged, he was stoned in one city, his life was in danger. Others suggest that it was illness that was preventing him from coming back, but they all acknowledge they don't really know. But what we do see is the word Satan starts with an uppercase S. So it's referring to Satan or the devil. And so we're seeing that Paul himself wants to come back to encourage and to strengthen the believers, and Satan is blocking him. Spiritual warfare is real. Satan will come against people to try and attempt to block and stop what God is wanting people to do. And that's a reality. And we see here, this is Paul. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. This is a man of a great faith. This is a man of great prayer. I mean, could Satan really block someone like that? Well, Paul here says that he did. And so we think, well, if that's a challenge for Paul, well, what about for us? Well, we're going to look at that in a few minutes' time. But at the moment, what we see is Satan might have blocked Paul, but Satan didn't stop God's work being done. Because Paul finds another way, and he sends Timothy to go and to find out how the Thessalonians are, to encourage them and strengthen them. If you feel Satan is blocking you from doing what God's called you to do, then ask the Lord, is there another way? Is there some other way for God's work to be done? And not only was Paul aware that Satan was blocking his way from returning back to the Thessalonians, he's aware too that Satan may have been causing difficulty for the Thessalonians. Except now he uses a different name. He calls him the Tempter. And he writes, I was afraid that in some way the Tempter had tempted you, and that our labours might have been in vain. See, for the Thessalonians, there are many different temptations that they faced. They may have felt compelled to give in to the peer pressure of family, of friends, of colleagues, and come back to their old way of life of idol worship. I mean, people would say, it's only proper that we go together as a family to worship. A business colleague would say, it's only proper that we go to the temple in order to be able to offer the sacrifices for God, for the blessing of the idols over this particular business deal or transaction. Well, there were those that said, oh, it's been a hard day. Oh, at the end of the day, I'll just have a few drinks and a few more. Or there were those who thought, well, I just attend the temple of the god of Eros and the goddess of Aphrodite, partake in the rituals there, and then succumb to the temptations of the temple prostitutes. See, these were the challenges and trials that were put before them. If the tempter was to tempt you, what would he tempt you with? I had a professional mentor who would ask me that question when we'd catch up. Andrew, when you're tired, when you're under pressure, if you're going to be tempted, what's the greatest or most likely temptation that you'll face? It's actually a really important question, isn't it? It's a really important thing to consider. Because if you know what your greatest temptation is, you can prepare for when you will face that temptation. If you know you are going to be tempted with Eros and Aphrodite, which today might reveal itself as porn, then you can take steps. You can put a filter in. You can have an accountability software. You can have a confidential good friend who you can ring and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this. If you are tempted with anger, then you can take steps to work with a counsellor to teach you steps so that you can de-escalate anger when that happens. If your temptation is pride about your appearance on social media, the way you always have to present a picture of perfection rather than authenticity, what steps can you take for when that temptation arises? Because knowing how the tempter will tempt you will help you prepare for when he does tempt you. Because temptation will come, just as trials and persecutions will come. See, Paul writes about the difficulties of trials. He refers to them here in being unsettled by trials in verse 3. He talks about distresses and persecution. And I think here he's actually addressing three different levels of challenge that we will face in our lives. He talks here about trials that we face and the fact that we might be unsettled by them, but on the other hand, maybe we can just brush them off. But then he talks about distress. You know when you've been distressed. You know that when you're distressed, you're talking here about an emotional response. You're talking about something here that's causing you something to rise up within you where you feel it. And you're getting concerned either about yourself or about someone else, about what you've done or someone else has done. And so it's emotionally challenging to deal with distress. But then you go to the next level of persecution. Persecution is usually overt. It's usually obvious. It's usually very difficult. Last week, when Nathan from Open Doors was speaking, we saw that there are 350 million Christians across the globe today who suffer persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. Overt persecution. We will face trials, distress, and perhaps persecution. And just like temptations, we need to be aware of their reality and the reality that we will face them. Paul knew that. That's why he wrote in verses 3 and 4, "For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know." See, Paul knew that being a Christian is not easy. It can bring great joy, it brings great hope, it brings incredible healing for our life here on earth now. It gives us certainty of eternal life with Jesus Christ, but it's not always easy now. So how can you be prepared in advance for the days when you will be tempted? For the days when you will be in distress? The days when you may be persecuted? How do you prepare in advance for those days when you go into your workplace and you find it very difficult because of your faith? Because you choose that you will not compromise truth. Because you choose that you will not gossip. That you will not tear others down. Because you will not laugh at the misfortune of someone else. Or at the crude jokes around the staff table. Or when you choose to stand up for the underprivileged. And as a result, you become the butt of jokes. For some, when they risk losing a promotion or employment. How do you prepare in advance for this? See, being ready for trials and distress and temptation requires that you continue to grow in your faith. That's why Paul wrote here that night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. See, as we read through 1 Thessalonians to where we've got to so far, there's been no evidence that they are deficient in their faith. In fact, the opposite is true. Paul says, you're standing firm in your faith. I'm living because you're standing firm. I'm delighted that you're doing so well. There's joy in my life because you're doing really well in your faith. But then he says that I need to supply what you are lacking in faith. In other words, he's acknowledging here that there's yet more for them to learn. And he prays for the opportunity when they'll meet again and he'll be able to supply what is lacking in their faith. And so we see here that it moves into prayer. And so the final verses of chapter 3 give us this incredible model of how Paul prays for his church family. And it shows us how we can learn about how we should pray. See, Paul has sent Timothy to hear how they're going. Timothy returns with the good news that they're standing firm in their faith, they're growing in love. And so Paul's response is one of thanks. Thank you, God. Thank you for how these brothers and sisters in the Lord are going. There's this joy that he has. And we see this in verse 9. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? He's talking here about his prayer life. He's in the very presence of God. He is there praying. And he's saying, God, I am filled with joy. I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I see how they're going. They're standing firm. I am so thankful, God. He starts his prayer here with thanksgiving. And then the next thing we see is his prayer for them is persistent. Because we read night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Night and day, he is praying for them. In the morning and at night, he is praying for them. He is praying for his church family. Who is God asking you to pray for? Who's God put on your heart that you want to persistently pray for them? Someone in your family, someone in your church family, one of your work colleagues, someone in your life group. Who is it that God is calling you to persistently pray for in their situation and circumstances? And then he moves into spiritual warfare. Because we see, and we saw earlier, that he wanted to come to visit them. He says here, we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. And as we saw earlier, we don't know how Satan blocked his way, but he is aware that there was a satanic intervention that prevented him from doing what God was calling him to do. So now let's look at the way he prays. But now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. See, the only way to overcome the inhibitions that are put in our way by the enemy is by battling it through in prayer. This is spiritual warfare prayer that Paul is modelling to us. It says that Satan blocked our way, but God, our Father, our Lord Jesus can clear the way. Satan blocks it, God clears it. Now we saw earlier that Paul couldn't come, and so he said, God, is there another way? Yes, send Timothy. So he sent Timothy. But Timothy's come back, and now Paul's still praying, God, clear the way. God, I still believe you want me to go. God, clear the way. And ultimately, as we read through the book of Acts, we see that God did clear the way, because on Paul's third missionary journey, he goes back to visit Thessalonica. So we see his prayer is answered. Sometimes we need to be identifying what are the blocks that Satan is putting in our way, and then we need to be very specific in our prayer. God, would you overcome Satan's schemes? God, would you clear the way? Satan's blocking it. Would you clear it? That's spiritual warfare prayer that Paul is showing us in this passage. And now Paul's prayer shifts focus. See, Timothy's arrived. Paul is aware now that there are some areas where the Thessalonians need to grow more. He says, you're doing well, and I'm full of joy about that, but I'm aware there are some areas where you still need to grow. And so he becomes very intentional into praying into these areas where they need to grow. And the first one of those is in the area of loving one another and everyone else. There's this beautiful prayer here. I spoke about this earlier this year when we're talking about our values, loving relationships matter. And this incredibly powerful verse, I'm not going to unpack it today because I did back then. But let's just briefly look at these words. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. If you are having difficulty loving someone, whether that's in your workplace or in your neighbour next door, there is this prayer that we can pray. Because out of your own strength, you find it so hard to love. Lord, make your love increase and overflow in me, that I would love one another and everyone else. What this is referring to is to love one another, is to John 13. Love one another, by this shall everyone know you are my disciples. The everyone else is love your neighbour as yourself. That's what this verse is saying. Lord, make your love increase, that I would love one another and love my neighbour as myself. And then Paul moves into the next part of his prayer where he realises that they still need to grow, when he says, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. In other words, here he's praying that these Thessalonians would grow to become blameless and holy, that they would live holy lives. And then the third point, there's some challenges around what they understand about the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And he wants them to be ready for when Jesus returns. And so the rest of Paul's letter is actually focused on these three things. How do we love one another and everyone else? How do we live holy and blameless lives on earth now so we are ready, not just for trials, not just for temptation, not just for persecution, but for when Jesus comes again, because he is coming. And so not only are these the points of intercession, not only are these the points of how Paul prays for them, he's also preempting, I'm going to write about this. And the rest of his letter focuses on these points. How do we love? How do we live holy, blameless lives? And how do we get ready for the coming again of Jesus Christ? And so next week we're going to start to look at this aspect of holiness and blamelessness. And the start of chapter 4 is addressing that in the area of sexual purity. And so we'll look at that next week. But for now, what we're seeing is this model of Paul's prayer for others. How do we live with thanksgiving? How do we live with this persistent, continual prayer for those that the Lord has placed upon our hearts? How do we live understanding spiritual warfare, that when Satan is throwing something in the way to try and block our way, that God would clear it? And finally, how do we intercede for those that God has called us to pray for? What are the specific things that we need to pray for them to help them to live holy and blameless lives, ready for the return of Jesus? And so as we wrap up this morning, as we do every Sunday morning, we finish with just this time to stop and reflect and ask, what is God saying to me today? What's God speaking about? What do I do with this? And just some pointers of some of these things to maybe take hold of, to think of, is ask yourself that question, who are you a Timothy for? To who should you go as a Timothy to strengthen and encourage them that they would grow stronger in their faith? Or maybe it might be the question, how do I prepare to withstand temptation? How do I be ready for trials and even persecution? Or maybe you need to ask that question, how am I going to pray for those that God's placed on my heart? Let's just take a minute and stop and reflect on what God is speaking to you about in this passage. Lord, it's interesting that because Paul couldn't go, he sent Timothy, and then he sent a letter. And we're so blessed that because of that we have this letter today. That we can read this, we can learn, and we can apply it. So Father, we start this morning with thanksgiving, for saying thank you for this letter. Thank you for what we're learning. But Lord, thank you for Timothy's. Lord, we pray that you would be revealing to each of us who we're meant to be a Timothy for. I pray, Lord, that you'd place on people's hearts and minds the people that you would have them reach out to this week. Whether it's a phone call, whether it's a text, a message, a visit. But Lord, for every one of us, you have those people that just suddenly their name comes to mind. You wonder how they're going. Lord, I pray that we would recognize that this week and we would reach out. Lord, I pray that you would show us how we're meant to pray for people. That Lord, you'd show us the particular areas where we can be very intentional in our prayer. And again, Lord, that where there needs to be persistence in prayer, Lord, direct us in our prayers, that we would pray with that intentionality, with that purpose, to see, Lord, people growing stronger in their faith, and particularly those who are living in difficult or trying circumstances. Help us, Lord, to be a Timothy to them. Help us to be a person of prayer for them. And Father God, we know too that for everyone there will be temptations that will come. There will be times of trials, times of distress, maybe some level of persecution. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be preempting, to be understanding our areas of weakness, of temptation, and that, Lord, you would help us to identify that and grow, strengthen, so that, Lord, when those days come, we are better able to stand firm in our faith. So, Lord, I pray your blessings over each and every one this week. As we go into the week that's ahead of us, we, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, would go in your name to carry the good news of your message, to live, Lord, as people who bring glory and honour to the name of our Father, who we love. That we would live in the victory of Jesus Christ, that we would, when we see the enemy throwing something in our way, we would pray our way through it and make wise strategic decisions so that, Lord, your will is done. So, Lord, I just ask your rich blessings over each and every one as we go out this day. And we thank you in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.